All right, well, let's get ready for the Word of God. Jesus, we thank you for your Word. We are ready to receive the fullness of your Word. Our souls are open to hear and to receive what you teach us, what you show us in our spirits. We give you all the praise in your name, Jesus. Amen. So the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at that thought or that principle of being ready for the moment. There are moments in our lives that will present themselves. Moments when we have the opportunity and the honor to be able to speak the Word of God in faith. And in those moments, when those moments arise, in those moments, as we speak His Word in faith and in power, we can alter situations. We can alter lives. We can change directions, future directions for people. It's an opportunity for us to advance the kingdom of God in those moments. And in those moments when we advance the kingdom of God, we get the opportunity to, through us speaking His Word, we bring glory to the name of Jesus. We glorify His name. Those are precious moments. Relish and look forward to those moments. But to be ready for the moment, we have to first make sure that we have prepared our sword for battle. And the Word is our sword. Now, it's easy too often. It's easy for us in the body of Christ. It's easy. I've been there myself. It's easy for us sometimes to allow our sword to become nothing more than a decorative sword. Like that decorative sword I showed you 2 weeks ago. It can become that decorative sword that's not prepared for battle. We don't need to be wearing decorative swords or wielding decorative swords. We need to be wielding the powerful sword of the Word of God. So, here's a verse that is worthy of memorization because it's the third week in a row I'm sharing you this verse. This is Jeremiah chapter 48, verse number 10. Hope you guys remember this by now. Jeremiah 48, 10. Cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently, and cursed be the one who restrains his sword from blood. Now understand that as New Covenant believers, we're not under the curse. We're not cursed. But that verse does show you how impactful, how important the expectancy that God has that we will be operating in His Word. There's an expectation that we will be wielding His Word with power in our lives as well as in the lives of others that we pray for and that we speak the Word of God over. This is the expectation that we should have. Prepare your sword. Forge it. Temper it. Make it ready. Make it proved in the fires of this life as we apply the Word of God daily in our lives. The more that we speak the Word of God, the more we stand on the Word of God, and the more we apply the Word of God in our lives, the more we are proving and making that Word, that sword, strong and prepared for battle. Now, last week, we were looking at this principle of being ready for the moment. And we were looking at the example of David, and David being ready for his moment with Goliath. Oftentimes, it's easy for us to be more like the army of Israel. We saw the army of Israel who was lined up on that mountain. They were lined up for battle every single day. It's easy for us to be like the army of Israel, lined up for battle, but because our swords aren't prepared, all we can do is make a lot of noise, rattle our swords. Rattle our swords, make a lot of noise, but never actually engage in battle. See, David actually engaged in battle. David was prepared for his Goliath moment because David had prepared. David had already used. He had already used and prepared the covenant of the Word. He had used those promises of the covenant of the Word. So he was prepared to utilize that Word. When the opportunity came, he was ready, and he had a strong Word to use. This is our example. He had that strong Word because he had proved the Word of God. He'd proved those promises of the covenant. He proved them in that shepherd's field. He knew the Word would work. And he knew that Goliath was already defeated. When David showed up on the scene, even though the army of Israel was just making a lot of noise and running in fear every day, David arrived at that scene. He saw those things, but he was prepared because he had already used the Word of God in the shepherd's field. He knew Goliath was already defeated. Before he'd even saw Goliath, he knew that Goliath was defeated because he had that Word. already prepared. This is our example. David is to be our example. But just like David, we can expect to meet some resistance. When we pull out the sword of the Word of God and we apply it, when we pull out that sword and we stand against the things that are opposed to the Word of God, expect that there's going to be some resistance. David got resistance. David's immediate resistance came from his own brother, Eliab. If you remember, Eliab did two things. Eliab accused. Here comes David, anointed in the Holy Spirit to be the king. Here comes David in the power of the word, the covenant that he has. And Eliab, his older brother, accuses David of being both irresponsible and also having the wrong motivations for being there. Listen, when you stand on the Word of God and you apply the Word of God in your life, you're going to meet resistance. You might hear some of those same things spoken to you. We might have to experience those same things. But again, David is our example. David didn't even bother to respond to his brother's foolish words. Instead, David turned away. And David positioned himself for battle. David would not even listen to words that were spoken that were opposed to the Word of God. He wouldn't even give place to them. Again, David is our example. And that's where we left David last week. So let's pick it up there. Let's pick up the account of David and Goliath at that place. Let's start this morning by looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at verse number 31. 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Remember that when David was anointed to be the king of Israel by Samuel, when we read that the Holy Spirit was upon David. So now here's David. He's come up to the situation where the army of Israel is not engaging in battle. So here's David. He has the Holy Spirit power on him. David is speaking the covenant promises of the Word of God, and he's speaking them boldly in the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? People are taking notice of it. The same thing is true for you and I. We may not see it all the time, but when we speak the Word of God, and we speak the Word of God in that boldness of the Holy Spirit, people do take notice. It impacts people. And you know what? These men in the army, all of these men, they wanted someone to have faith in the Word of God. They wanted someone to speak the Word of God in power. They wanted someone to train them and lead them in the Word of God. And here comes David, boldly speaking those words. And the words that David spoke, those bold words that David spoke, word of that spread all the way to the king's very ears. We've been entrusted with the Word of God today. Today, we've been entrusted with this Word. And we have a superior anointing to David because David just had the Holy Spirit upon him. We have the Holy Spirit that is within us. There are people that are around us every single day. There's a people that are going to be around you today, tomorrow. There's people around us who want to hear someone who believes the Word of God. And someone who will then, in believing the Word of God, speak the Word of God in faith and in the boldness and in the power of the Holy Spirit. People want to believe the Word of God. Even those who are out there today who deny the Word of God and deny God, they're still God's creation. And in their DNA, their spirit might be dead, but in their spiritual DNA, they are created to want God, to need Him. Somewhere deep inside, they know that, and they want that. But because they reject it, we become quiet and silent. David is our example. Even when he got resistance, David just continued to do the Word. He just continued to be what he was supposed to be. The sword of the Word of God that we wield in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, that sword of the Word that you wield in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, it will resound in places that you could not foresee, that you couldn't even imagine. every time we speak the word of God in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, God's moving through that and taking the word in places you can't even imagine. God took David's words all the way to the king's ears. Where will Jesus take your words? When you speak the word of God, where will Jesus take your words? You have no ideas. You have no idea what ears will be reached by your words spoken in faith. You know, talking about Caroline, there's a lot of times over the years I've gone to the hospital and I've prayed for people. And this has happened numerous times. Usually when you go into a hospital room, there's more than one person in the hospital room. And so I'll go into the hospital room to pray for whoever it is I go to pray for. I'll sit there, I'll talk to them, you know, we'll speak the word, and then I'll pray for them. And this has happened so many times. It's funny to me how many times God puts people that I'm supposed to go pray for in the hospitals, he puts them on the far side of the room. So I have to go all the way past somebody else to pray with this person, and then after I pray for them, I have to go past that person again. And numerous times people have said, hey, would you pray for me too? Because they have no one to come and speak the word over them. They have no one to come and pray. You know, there are Christians and believers all over. Sometimes just sitting, this is true, sitting in the waiting room because I had to leave the room and go sit in the waiting room because something was happening. Sitting in the waiting room, I'll talk to people. You know, there was one time that I was going to the hospital. There was a young man that was in the hospital, and so I was going every day for a period of time. Just by going to the hospital and praying, before that young man left the hospital, there was actually four different people that I was going on a daily basis to pray for. Three of them I never knew before. But they had heard me pray, or there was conversations. And they were just looking. They just wanted someone to believe the word of God and to speak it in faith to them. The world is hungry for the word of God. It's been entrusted to us. Let's have that same boldness of the Holy Spirit that David has, to speak those truths, to speak those out so we can wield his word. We can wield his word with his power and his authority. All right, let's go to the next verse. Verse number 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Speaking of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Here's David. David is boldly saying to the king, let no man's heart fear because of this Goliath, for I will go fight the Philistine. This man that has no covenant with God, I will fight him and I will enforce his defeat. He understood that this Philistine had no covenant. Look, this is a great lesson. Anything that is outside of the covenant, we have the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Anything that's outside of that, we have no reason to fear it. In fact, on the contrary, we should be the ones who are stirring courage in others, as just like David, we are speaking boldly those covenant promises. As we speak those covenant promises out loud, other people are going to be stirred and encouraged. And that's what David is saying. Let no man's heart fear because of this. Remember, we began this year, 2017, we began this year here by learning what it means to be a steward. We spent all, was there 4 or 5 weeks? We spent all of January, all those Sundays, we spent learning about being a steward. Being a steward, my life is not my own. It belongs to him. My life is not mine. Well, just like David, if my life is not mine, but it belongs to him, just like David, I should be saying to my king, I should be telling my king, I am your servant, and I will go. I will wield the sword of your word. I will wield it against all the giants that the enemy brings, and I will do so to enforce your victory. I will enforce the things that you have already done. This is what we should be as his servants. This is what we should. This is what God should be hearing from us. Here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. I will go. I will wield the word of God for you. Tell me where to go. Bring the people across my path. I will speak the word of God over them. They will see the results because they're hungry. They want to see it. They want to be encouraged and stirred in their hearts. We need to be those servants. Even going to Goliath and speaking the word to the Goliaths in your life and the lives of others. That's another thing. Even the name of the Philistine giant, even his name has meaning and it is discrediting. It's deceitful. Even his name is a deception. Goliath's name means soothsayer. A soothsayer is one who predicts the future. A soothsayer is a prognosticator. In fact, the word sooth, the first part of that word, soothsayer, the word sooth is an archaic word that means truth. So here's Goliath. Goliath is predicting the future of God's people, defeat. But Goliath is speaking the world's truth, not God's truth. So in other words, quite simply, Goliath is speaking a lie. We have the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, sadly, the reality is all of those men in the army of Israel, they accepted the world's truth. It was a lie. But they accepted the world's truth, even though they had the covenant of God within them. As his servants, we need to be taking the sword to every lie that the world speaks. Satan is going to bring lying giants before us, predicting our defeat and our failure. It's a lie. Put it to the sword. Anything that the world or that Satan brings, if there's a giant in front of you, if it's a financial giant or if it's a health giant, whatever it is, if Satan has put a giant in front of you, and he will, it is a lie. Put it to the sword. That's the example that we get from David. This is what we're supposed to learn, and this is who we are supposed to be. Look, there are people today, even believers, who are waiting and watching for someone who knows how to wield the word of God that has been prepared for battle and will challenge the accepted lies of this world. Let that sink in. People are waiting for that, watching and looking for that. That is to be you and I. We're supposed to be those ones. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war since his youth." Saul is a coward. I mean, if you remember, we saw this last week. Because Saul rejected the word of God, God rejected Saul as the king of Israel. Okay, just think this through. Saul rejected the word of God. Saul is rejecting the sword of God. He rejected the word, he's rejecting the sword of God. Now we see this actually played out in the text a little bit. We can see the meaning of this and what this produces in Saul's life. When you read ahead in the text, you realize that Saul appears to not even be wearing his sword at the very moment that his troops, that his army is arrayed for battle. Saul is apparently not even wearing his sword. When you read in the verses that are to come, when we see that Saul is trying to encourage or entice David to wear his implements of war, he's encouraging David to wear what Saul is supposed to be wearing, because Saul is not using them. For Saul, the word of God, for Saul, the sword is useless. Saul can't even begin to comprehend. To him, it's incomprehensible that any man can capably wield the word of God against the world. Because this is a foreign concept to him. Because this is what the word tells us. The word says that those spiritual things, the spiritual things, are foolishness to flesh, foolishness to man. Saul had rejected the sword. So the sword is useless to him because he rejected the word. He rejected the sword. So we see that Saul, even then when he tries to entice David by taking those implements, we see that Saul, in enticing David to take those things, he's not using them. To him, they have no meaning. There is no value to all of those implements to Saul because he's rejected the word. He's rejected those things that God has entrusted to him. Saul rejected the word of God. The word of God is our sword. You understand what I'm saying? You understand the point? Some of you guys look a little mystified. Saul rejected the word of God. The word of God is our sword. If we reject the word of God, then we are left only able to accept the lies, the truth, which are lies of the world. If I reject the word of God, I am rejecting his life. That's what Saul is doing. He rejected the word. He rejected the sword. He is actually rejecting life. Then it's not ironic to us, with this understanding, to look ahead and to see that we do find Paul. After this, he does use the sword one more time. But it's the sword that he rejected. He rejected the word of God. He uses the sword one more time, but this time he uses the sword to take his own life. See, if we reject the word of God, we're left only able to accept the lies of the world. We reject his life. And that's exactly what happened to Saul. Let's go to the very end of, towards the end of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 4. This is exactly the role the sword plays in Saul's life. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it." This is at the point where the Philistines are overrunning. Saul's army of Israel is being defeated. And Saul knows he's going to be defeated, and he asks his armor bearer to thrust him through with the sword, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell on it. Saul had rejected the word of God. He rejected the sword. The sword had only one more role because he'd rejected life. He rejected the life of God himself. This is just a powerful realization of the sword that we have, and the sword that we have has the power of life in it. Are we going to choose to believe the truth of the world, which is a lie? Or are we going to believe what this word says, regardless of what the circumstances may tell us and what we may see? Believe the word and apply the word. This is why being ready for the moment. We have to learn to keep applying the word of God to our lives, even when we don't see the results right away. If you pray and you speak the word over a situation and you don't see the results right away, don't throw up our hands and say, "Well, that didn't work." You continue to stand on the word of God. I've said this before. If your circumstances are over here, and the word of God and his promises are here, but your circumstances are the exact opposite, you continue to stand on the word of God. As you stand on the word of God and you continue to stand, this is the result. Your circumstances will eventually line up with the word of God. We continue to stand and speak the word of God. All right, let's go back to David and Saul. Let's go back and look at verses 34 through 37. Does that make sense to you guys? Are you just being polite? That's okay. Politeness is good. Starting in verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard, I struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised,'" and when he says uncircumcised, he's saying that this Philistine has no covenant with God. David had stood on the covenant of God and saw the covenant of God work as he was there in the shepherd's field. "This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and let the Lord be with you." Here we come to the heart of the matter. This is what it all comes to. To be ready, we need to be ready for the moment. To be ready for the moment, we have to make sure that our sword is prepared for battle. And our sword is prepared for battle because we put it in practice. We practice it in our lives. We practice it in the fire of life. We practice it in our lives. And then the word is ready for us to be used. See, David was ready. David was prepared for his Goliath moment. David was ready for that moment because he had practiced the covenant promises of God in the wilderness, in those shepherd's fields. He'd practiced the promises. He practiced the covenant. And he experienced those promises coming to pass as he was both delivered from and killed both the lion and the bear. David knew that the same thing was true for the Philistine. Was no different with Goliath. David had tested and proved the word of God. And because David tested and proved the word of God, David was ready for battle. But all the army of Israel, that entire army, they lined up for battle every day. But because they had not tested and proved the covenant of God, they were left with nothing else but to rattle their swords, make a lot of noise, and then flee in fear at the first sign and words from Goliath in the valley. It's because God delivered David from the mouth of the lion and the bear that David knew the word of God could be trusted to defeat the giant. And he knew the word of God could be trusted to also defeat all of those lies that the giant Goliath had spoken against God's people. This is who we are. This is the example that we get from David. Okay, let's read on in verses 38 and 39. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword over his armor. For he was not used to it. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I am not used to them." And David took them off. So here's Saul. Saul is trying to entice David to use his sword, to wear his sword and to wear his armor in battle against the giant Goliath. Understand that these are the accepted accoutrements of war. But David is wise to avoid them because David has not tested them. They're untested. He hasn't used them. He hasn't proved them. So David used the word of God, which he had tested and he had proved. You can get a picture in your mind of what's taking place here. You can kind of see that here's David. David's a young man. He's probably not filled out fully yet. He's still growing. He's a young man. Here's Saul. Saul is, well, the Bible tells us he was a head bigger than every other man in Israel. Here's Saul, a full-grown man, bigger than any other man. And here's David. David, still a young man, trying to put on this armor and all this sword. How awkward did David look walking around carrying all those implements that didn't fit him? And they were untested and unprepared. They were awkward. The mistake, it is a mistake for you and I to go into our Goliath moment with an untested sword. If I have not prepared, if I have not proved my sword for battle by applying it daily in the fire of life, if I haven't done that, I'm going to look like David. I'm going to look like David did at that awkward moment. I'm going to look pretty awkward trying to use someone else's sword. That's exactly what Saul wanted David to use, his untested, someone else's sword, someone else's word. I'm in an awkward position when I try to use someone else's sword in my life. Again, I cannot live on someone else's revelation of the word of God. I have to have the word of God that I have tested and proved myself, my own revelation, my understanding and knowledge of the word of God. Amen? So over these 3 weeks, I've been using this illustration or the analogy of the sword of the word of God and comparing it to an actual sword. I showed you that decorative sword that I had. That is just a decorative sword. I told you it hadn't been tempered. If I took it out and tried to actually strike somebody in battle with it, it would shatter because the metal had not been tempered and prepared. So I've talked about that for 3 weeks. So I wanted to take just a few minutes, and I think it's beneficial if we can see how an actual sword is prepared and made ready for battle. In understanding how a sword is prepared, tempered, and made ready for battle, it'll help us really understand how we apply the sword of the word in our lives. So, this is how a sword, if you are a metal worker, this is how a sword is actually made. It starts off with the forging process. In the forging process, what's taking place is you're taking a lump of metal and you heat up a furnace, and you put this lump of metal in the furnace, and you heat it up to, something like the heat of the sun. I mean, it's hot. It's so hot that the metal actually becomes malleable. And then you hammer out this piece of metal, and you stretch it, and you shape it. You hammer it, and you shape it until it is in the shape that we recognize as a blade. That's the forging process. Now, the next step in the process is called normalizing. In normalizing, let's see the next one. In normalizing, this is what happens. We take the sword, and because there's a lot of stresses in the metal, I know, hard to imagine, but apparently when you hammer and beat a piece of metal, it adds stress to the metal. So this is the process that alleviates or relieves those stresses within the metal. So they take the sword, and they put it back in the furnace, and they heat it until it's red hot. And then they take it out of the furnace, and they just air cool it until that red is gone, and it's back to the black. And then they stick it right back in the furnace, and they heat it up again until it's red hot, and they do the same thing. They do that three times, or they do that until the metal becomes non-magnetic. Now, that's just a temporary state. But when they have normalized it, it reaches a state of being non-magnetic. In other words, you could take a magnet and put it against the sword, and the magnet wouldn't stick. Now the sword has been normalized. All these stresses have been relieved in the actual sword. So now that it's normalized, we go to the third step. The next step that we see in the process is called the quenching. It is hardening by quenching. And this is the most dramatic shot. There's another shot that actually shows, but this is just more dramatic. In the quenching process, the point is to harden the metal so it's prepared for battle. Now, my decorative sword was never hardened. That's why it would shatter. When you're actually making, forging, and developing a sword for battle, you harden it. So what they do is they get it to what's red hot again in that furnace. And then they quickly pull it out and they dunk it in a bath of oil. And that oil quickly cools it down. But they pull it out just as quick, and the sword will actually be on fire from that oil burning and hardening that steel. So now it's been normalized, and it's been quenched, hardened. But even in the quenching process, it hardens the blade, but it does leave some of the exterior parts where the blade's going to be. It leaves some of that brittle. You don't want a brittle sword when you're going to battle. So this brings us to the final step in the process of making a sword that is prepared, proved, and ready for battle. This is called tempering. And in the tempering process, we're going through that same process again, although they now heat the sword to 500 degrees. They take it very quickly. When they get to 500 degrees, he takes it out, and you can see he puts it into that quenching oil once again, and he pulls it out. Then he fires it back up to 500 degrees. He dunks it. He quenches it once again in that oil. Then he takes it back, and he fires it up to 500. He does this three times. And in doing that three times, that tempers the sword. So now it's hard, and all the brittleness is gone. This is a sword that is now ready for battle. It will withstand hits. It will withstand contact. Now all that needs to be done to that blade is you smooth it out, you sharpen it, and it's ready. Once it's sharpened, it's now ready for battle. So that's how you make a blade. Now, let's talk about the Word of God, which is our sword. And let's go back and look at those things and see the comparison and see the strength that we can draw from that. So we know that the process starts with the forging process. That's where you're hammering it out. It's heated and it's hammered. The forging process is where you actually shape the blade. So for you and I, with the sword of the Word of God, the forging process is when we are learning the Word of God. We are shaping the Word of God within us. We're learning it and we're knowing it and we're understanding it. It's being shaped and forged within us. Now, once we've learned the Word of God, the next step is the step that was the normalizing. That's when you would heat it up and then cool it down. Heat it up and cool it down. So once we've learned the Word of God, now we're ready to take the Word of God out into the fire of life. And we apply the Word of God with fire and we see results. And then we apply it again and we see results. It's heated and it's cooled. We're learning to see the Word of God work. And once that process is completed, according to the sword maker, that sword is now normalized. So once we have applied the Word of God and we've seen it work, now the Word of God is normalized. In other words, just like that magnet, now that the Word of God is normalized, now your doubt and your uncertainty of the Word will not stick to your Word. You can now wield that sword with certainty and sureness because you've seen it. You've applied it, and you've seen it work again and again. And then there was the quenching. You took that heated sword, and you quenched it in the oil. That's the oil of the Holy Spirit. When we apply the Word of God that has been normalized, in other words, we now know there's no doubt or uncertainty that's going to stick to it. We quench that in the Word of in the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Spirit moves through that word that you speak and that you say. And the word accomplishes what God sent it forth to accomplish. It is the picture of that word that is flaming. That is your word quenched in the Holy Spirit. Nothing stands against it. And then after it's quenched, we have that tempering. And the tempering process is when we are again, we're heating and we're applying the Holy Spirit. We're heating and we're quenching. It is that usage, day in and day out, applying the Word of God to your life and to the lives of the people that are around you. And that then has that sword. You are now ready. That sword is ready for the moment. So when that Goliath moment comes and the world is watching and people are seeing, you can apply the Word. You are ready for the moment. And you can apply that Word of God. And every time you apply the Word of God, you are sharpening that Word and making it stronger and stronger. But you've got a Word that is ready for the moment, a sword that is ready for the moment. Amen? I hope you can see that picture in your mind. If you forget everything else this morning, just picture this. The more you use the Word of God, the more you prepare it, you are making it strong. And it is that sword of fire. Picture that sword on fire. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working through the word that you speak, bringing about those things that he wills and that he determines. All right, so let's go back to David one more time. So David and Goliath. Now, we all know that the next thing that David does in this, and for those of you that were in Israel, probably everyone that went with us and you were there in the Valley of Elah, I got five little stones sitting in my office. Five stones that came right from the Valley of Elah. We know that David went to the brook and he chose for himself five smooth stones that he could slay Goliath with, he could fight Goliath with. We all know and we have that picture, but we often overlook what else David took with him into that battle with Goliath. And we see this in verse number 40. 1 Samuel 17:40. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. David took his staff as well. Research this out for yourself. Pay a little attention to this. I'm just going to give you the quick overview. The prophet Zechariah, multiple times, he refers to the staff as being the covenant of God. This is David. David is taking his covenant into his Goliath moment. And David then slew the giant with a rock that he slung from his covenant with God. The covenant and the rock. That's all I need. The covenant and the rock. And we've got a better covenant than David had. We have the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have the rock of Jesus. So when I speak the word of God, the word's already done. When I speak the word of God, the victory's already won. When I speak the word of God, I'm just establishing, I'm bringing that promise that's already done and established in the spiritual realm, and I'm manifesting it here in the physical realm. It's already done. With the covenant and with the rock, with that covenant of Jesus' blood and the rock of Jesus, I am ready for the moment. And now, that proved word that I have, it will not shatter. I've proved it. I've tested it. I've applied it. And that proved word will not shatter when I apply it daily in my life. However, the truth, which is the lie from the world, the world's lying words, they will shatter. They will shatter as soon as they come in contact with the forged, the tempered, the prepared word of God. That comes from you and I. One final verse. Let's go ahead to verse 51. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51. There is so much in the story of David and Goliath. You can see, I'm even skipping over a lot of verses. There is so much richness and truth that's here for us. 1 Samuel 17, verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistines. So David has already slung that rock. He's hit Goliath in the head, and Goliath is down. Therefore, David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, speaking about Goliath's sword, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head. Now, when you read through the Word of God, it's clear that Goliath is dead. It's the rock. Goliath is already dead. The rock itself killed him. Goliath is dead. But when David takes up, when he applies Goliath's own sword, it's a clear demonstration to all of those Philistines who are up on that mountaintop. And they're watching the battle from the mountaintop. When David applies Goliath's sword, it is clear to them that their champion was not just knocked down. It's clear he was utterly defeated. There is no question about it in their minds. To me, I don't think it's an ironic thing at all. Both Saul and Goliath, their swords, their own swords, were involved in their own deaths. For Saul, his sword took his life. For Goliath, his sword confirmed his defeat and his death. The word, the lying words of the world, the sooth or the truth, which is a lie that the world gives, that word brings defeat and death. But the word of God that we have to apply, the sword of the word that we have, it brings life, it brings deliverance, and it brings freedom, not just to your life, but to the lives of those you speak, that you wield the sword on their behalf, just like we're wielding the sword for Caroline tomorrow. This is the power of the word that we have. It brings life, it brings deliverance, it brings freedom. Forge, normalize, quench in the Holy Spirit, and temper your sword, the word of God, by applying it in your life every single day, today and every single day. Then we are ready to wield the sword of the word of God. Then we are ready for the moment. Amen? Jesus, it is our heart's desire. We want to be ready for the moment. It's so easy for us in life. So many things can take our attention. It's easy for us to find ourselves suddenly just like your troops, your army, lined up for battle, but just making a lot of noise. We don't want to run in fear from any of the giants that the enemy of our souls brings before our path, and we will not run in fear. For we are tempering and preparing, forging your word in our lives. We apply it, we stand on it, and every time we apply it, every time we stand, we see that your word works. And we know we are ready for the moment, ready to apply, to wield your sword. Here we are, your servants. Just as David said to the king, we say to you, our king, here we are, I'm ready to go. I am ready as your servant to wield your sword, your word, and slay and defeat all the giants that the enemy brings against us and against those that we come across, to slay all of those giants in the authority of your name and by the power of your word. We praise you and thank you. You be glorified as we apply your word. You be glorified. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in praise and worship song this morning.